This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Now, moving on to our next story, it's about the education system and how it needs to address the current divisive racial narratives that we are facing.
Speaking of racial narratives, it's like we can't get away. So this statement is coming from Dr. Sharifa Munira Alatas, a senior lecturer in UKM's Strategic Studies and International Relations Department. And she basically said it's worrying that there's no redress being taken through the education system and that there is a need to review curriculum involving religion specifically because some teachings make children, cause children to grow up thinking perhaps that life revolves solely around religion.
So she also made a few other points about this, about how our schools aren't teaching the right things, students are not grasping the situation of the country, with many students only taught to be polite and to just get along. So I think she's getting at two points here, right? One about the flaws in the education system, and the other, the improvements that could be made to how religion is taught in schools.
We've talked quite a lot about the education system, right, and how it needs to be improved, and it will probably be interesting to talk about the latter instead, the improvements that could be made to how we teach values such as values and culture such as religion and moral values, right? How do we introduce that in schools? It is a growing conversation. We're going to be speaking directly to Dr. Sharifa Munira after this, but I think overall also it is worth saying that when it comes to looking at how it's taught and it is an ongoing conversation about whether or not you can actually drum values into children within the education system. I think within the article, she also made mention of how instead of having it as just a separate topic living on its own, it also perhaps needs to be included in everything, you know, in when you're teaching maths, when you're teaching science. It's just something that needs to be addressed in a way that helps unity, this issue.
Yeah, and I think on that point about how you can continue to drum in these values and whether you can actually really realistically balance that with the fact that it's still an SPM subject. It's still an exam paper you have to take at the end of the day. At the end of the day, it's an A you have to score in something that's a bit more, well, that you should experience, I guess, more personal rather than something that you have to, you know, vomit out on a piece of paper.
Yeah. Let us know your thoughts on the matter. Does our education system need a reform, especially when it comes to the way we are teaching pendidikan agama, pendidikan moral? Yesterday, when we spoke about the issue of happiness, and actually almost any time that we have spoken about any major improvements that need to be made in our country, the number one thing that will always come through is we need to change our education system. Yeah. We will always receive those messages and they are always on point, basically. So let us know, how does it need to be changed? What would you do? That number to call, 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, and tweet us at BFM Radio.
After this, we'll be speaking to Dr. Sharifa Munira Al-Attas. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Be free-minded. BFM 89.9.
It's the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin, and we're talking about the education system and how it needs to be reformed to address the current divisive racial narratives that we're facing. And this comes from Dr. Sharifa Munira Al-Attas, Senior Lecturer in Strategic Studies and International Relations at UKM and a member of G25. We have her on the line right now. Thank you for joining us on the show. Can you tell us about your concerns with religious curriculums in schools?
Okay, that is a big issue in Malaysia. My only concern is that there is a serious imbalance. Over the years, more attention has been paid to religion and religious subjects. Less has been spent on humanities subjects, for instance, such as geography, history, literature, subjects which train the mind to think, to be critical, to question one's surroundings, to question one's humanity, relationships within societies. All this has been neglected as a result of giving more attention, more emphasis on math and science as opposed to the humanities.
So we do, of course, currently have agama and pendidikan moral in our school system, basically. How do we balance teaching these subjects that really cover, you know, more ethical and religious issues along with regular school subjects?
Okay, currently I do think that there is too much agama and religious-related subjects in schools. Tun Mahathir himself has already pointed this out. Parents seem to be complaining. They are complaining that there are less contact hours spent on other subjects, such as science and mathematics. Although predominantly the criticism is about bringing back the science and math, parents seem to want that brought back. But I think what is not being discussed also is the importance of other subjects such as the arts and the humanities, such as history, geography, even philosophy and literature. These subjects have not been given much attention and they continue to be ignored. And I think they're very important. And I'm not saying to eradicate religion entirely, but there has to be a definite balance. Allocate religion and the teaching of religious subjects to a time maybe after school. And if you want to have it, if they want to have it within the curriculum itself, reduce the number of hours because other subjects, especially the humanities, are being neglected. So it can be allocated to after school hours or on the weekend.
So you've called for a reform. What changes would you like to see in our education system, particularly when it comes to matters of unity?
I see. Yes, I think it has a lot to do with the fact that there has been a lot of emphasis on religion and language, which has been politicized, as well as the politicization of religion and language has been brought into the classroom. In order to reform our system, we've got to remove the politics associated with religion and language, because it then becomes a discussion on race. And children in schools, students in universities, should learn a language or even religion, not just one religion, but many religions, and it should be dissociated from an identity with a specific race, especially when that race, the discussion of race is so volatile in a country, in a society like Malaysia. So in terms of reform, I would suggest that we get parents, particularly parents involved in the curriculum. Parents and the home have a huge role to play in this sense. In Malaysia, there is a growing tendency towards hypocrisy, for instance. And hypocrisy as a value has to be taught from the beginning at home, because I see a lot of it in Malaysian society. There seems to be a very hypocritical way of lifestyle. For instance, one may pray 5 or 10 times a day, fast every day during Ramadan, engage in extra rituals on a daily basis. But alongside this ritualistic practices, unacceptable behavior is tolerated as well, like a lack of punctuality, for instance, when it comes to work at the workplace. Academic fraud and an unserious attention being paid to society's problems such as corruption. All these sorts of values are not being taught. I don't expect it to be taught in the classroom, but parents have to be told that this is vital for an overall holistic development of society, away from partisan politics or racial or religious politics.
So obviously starting in school is important, but do you think it's enough? Religion is so embedded in our culture, and then this issue of racial and religious discourse, it's systemic within our society. How do we tackle that, and who should that responsibility fall on?
All right. I think the school system is not adequate. It's got a lot to do with parents. Parents have got to be very involved in this, and not just one parent, both parents, the mother and the father of school-going children, have to be very attentive to this. And that goes to say as well that parents themselves have to be educated about basic subjects that their own children are being taught in school. If, for instance, if humanities are brought back into the school system, parents have to take an interest in what their children are studying. They've got to know what the history that they are studying is all about. There should not be a hands-off attitude. I think the role of parents has always been an important factor in the growth of society. And the problem that we're facing today is parents tend to be very busy, but I think we should not use that as an excuse anymore. Parents have got to have a serious input into this.
And on that point, how can we actually achieve this when religion is so important and personal to people that when it's brought up in any form or any way, it becomes incendiary and an easy political, well, ammo? It sounds like it'll take a lot of political bravery from our government.
That is a dilemma. I can see that it is a big dilemma. But it's up to the academics, the intellectuals, the thinkers, the activists, or those with opinions in society who can write about it, who can speak about it, who can keep educating society outside of the traditional places of education, which is either the universities or the schools. There are public intellectuals who can spread the word, who can start this narrative of persisting in bringing up the topic of a reform, of a holistic reform, an overall reform of how we approach education. And I don't think we have an excuse here because social media is rampant. Everyone is hooked into social media. There is a lot more availability of reading material. So many people, both in the rural and in the urban areas, are connected. They are able to read. So I think there's a lot of opportunity for those with ideas to put them down in writing, to speak about it, not to be afraid to speak up when asked, and to have a vision for a better future. I mean, there's no use just talking about it rhetorically. We must definitely be sincere about that vision. And that's my sincere hope and belief, that it's an input from all levels of society, not just the school teachers and not just the university lecturers.
Dr. Munira, thank you so much for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Sharifah Munira Al-Attas, Senior Lecturer in Strategic Studies and International Relations at UKM and a member of G25. After this, we'll be speaking to two BFMers about their experiences with Class Agama. If you'd like to share your own stories and thoughts about this, call 7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, tweet at BFM Radio. Keep it here on The Evening Edition.
Brainy, fancy material. BFM 89.9.
It's the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin, and we've been speaking about a call put out by Dr. Sharifah Munira Al-Attas about the need to reform education in our schools, particularly in terms of how religion is taught.
So, of course, we didn't experience Agama class in school, being Pendidikan Moral Unit learners instead. So we wanted to talk to two people who did. Joining us in the studio are BFMers Diana Mustaq and Najman Maliki. Guys, welcome. Let's start with this then. How many years did you actually experience Agama in schools? You know, was it just in the form of a class? Was it in the form of an actual school? Let us know.
Well, I did normal, like, sekolah kebangsaan, so I didn't go for any of those, like, afternoon Agama class type things. I guess that means 6 years primary, 5 years secondary.
So for me, I also did the normal sekolah kebangsaan. I didn't go to the sekolah agama after school, but I did went to a sekolah agama based high school. So I did extra stuff in my Form 4 and Form 5s.
So what has your experience been like with Agama classes?
I have to say it's been a while, but I don't know. I thought it was fine. It was just fine. It was mostly learning the basics, you know, making sure you know everything you need to know in your daily Muslim life, how to pray, how to read the Quran, things like that. But it kind of just stops there. So I don't really have anything much to say beyond, like, it was just sufficient.
So for me, since I took Pendidikan Syariah Islamiah and also I took Pendidikan Quran dan Sunnah, it was a bit more in-depth, especially when my Form 4 and Form 5 years. So it was like learning law and also like another beast on its own, mm-hmm. if that makes sense.
Yeah. And did you find that it helped you in terms of imparting the values, I suppose, that it's supposed to impart, right? Because if we look at pendidikan moral and agama, it's sort of, they're teaching different things, but they're attempting to achieve one thing, which is kind of like to make students better people, I suppose. And in the case of agama, to ensure that you're sort of better Muslims, that you're better Muslims who know how to be that. And do you think that it assisted you in that way?
For me, it kind of did, to a certain extent. But also because when you were young and somebody's trying to force such complex things onto you, for me, I feel like most of them just like went through my head. But if I usually try and internalize whatever I learned after I was like when I was in my university, and I realized a couple of things that I really did not agree with, I guess. Yeah.
I think it's worth keeping in mind that in the context of school, this was first and foremost an exam, an SPM subject. So I was memorizing, I was learning the way you did with Pendidikan Moral, right? So was it really effective in achieving that? I'm not sure. But did I learn some kind of, you know, morals out of it? Sure, yeah, I think so. But first and foremost, it was an A to be achieved.
Did you find it a divisive experience, as Dr. Munira mentioned in the article?
So for me, initially, I didn't feel like it was... I mean, when I was learning, I was just a kid, right? It was, like Diana said, very much memorizing things. I actually took the time to actually just look at what we learned and memorized, and most of the things, it's not clearly divisive, but it's subliminally divisive, if I may. Because we have things like every single thing that's related, it must be a Muslim-based party. So I wouldn't say divisive, but it was a thing that kind of like, a bit for me lah.
And when you were revisiting that, I think you said that it was something that you had to kind of reckon with a bit later on, where you're like, maybe I don't fully agree with the things that I was taught in school. What was that experience like, you know, when you first started to think, all these years of studying and how and the information that I'm receiving now, it doesn't seem to necessarily match up?
It was a bit surprising, but it also made me feel like, if I can, I would love it to just be less imposing, more open, and less ritualistic, less law-based, more of like, you need to be a good person in general. Yeah, I didn't get that a lot from my studies. It was more like, the law states this is this, rather than you just don't kill people.
Does that apply to you as well, Diana? Because earlier you were saying that, it was more process-based, it was more memorization. Did you hope for, I guess, more reflection with the religious classes you were taking?
Yeah, definitely. I think reflection is a good way to put it. I was hoping that there was more of an element of... because we hear that Islam is this beautiful religion and help me feel that. Like, spiritually, how does this spiritual connection improve my daily life, right? Like, I think if there was more room for just sharing and like a two-way conversation between me and the ustazah or whatever, I think that could have been improved on. Then I would have probably felt more of a connection rather than this is just a class I need to study for.
You just heard from Diana Musta and Najma Maliki. Thank you so much again for joining us in the studios and sharing experiences with us. Mm-hmm. We'll have more coming up on the Evening Edition. This is BFM 89.9.
Beyond Frivolous Matters, BFM 89.9.
We've been speaking about a call put up by Dr. Sharifa Munira Al-Attas about the need to reform education in our schools, particularly in terms of how religion is taught. We spoke to her earlier, and we also spoke to two BFMers about their experience in class agama. So the question today really is, what has your experience been with, you know, religious and moral classes in schools? Do you think they have a role to play in, making Malaysians more united?
Yeah.
Call us 7733 2900, WhatsApp 018 789 8999. Tweet us at BFM Radio. We have some messages.
We have a lot of messages. So Aziz says, in terms of unity in schools, I think first decrease religious studies, increase humanity, you know, studies or values in school, remove racial schools such as Jinnah, Jinnah India. Religious teaching on Islam on what you is, you know, focused right now on what you can do. Religious teachings on Islam should focus on what you can do rather than what you can't. And schools should teach understanding the Quran rather than just what, you know, what it says, how to read it. We also have this from Lynn, who says, I respectfully disagree with Dr. Munira's comments. As an adult, I wish that religious classes then could have been more detailed, definitely not fewer hours.
And and if you could expand what you mean by detailed, I think that would be great, right? Because I think some of the calls we heard earlier was that, well, not necessarily. The processes of rituals are extremely important and very useful. And the laws and what you can't do, what you cannot do, and so on. Of course, what they were hoping to see more was, you know, not only interfaith dialogues, but also, I guess, a more personal, spiritual experience with how religion is taught in schools.
Well, when it comes to how the values you learn are translated to the values you have in life.
Yep.
Yi Li comments that, you know what, I could be a criminal who scores 100% marks for moral, and that doesn't mean that I'm a person of high values. Why should we be examined for these? And that is a really good point, because you know what? You know how you score 100 marks in Pendidikan Moral? You just have a good memory.
And you know how to game it, right?
Essentially. Yeah, really.
In the past, I think some teachers would say, well, if you get really good scores in Moral, are you sure you are truly a person of moral standing? We have another message here from Chris, who says that, as someone who is spiritual, non-religious, and Canadian, I do believe that religious studies should be taught in schools. You can't rely on parents alone to educate their children on things they themselves don't even know. Public institutions are key places for integration. Now, whether an unbiased religious studies curriculum would be executed well is another thing. And yes, no more vernacular schools, they are inherently exclusionary.
Meanwhile, Eric also says, parents cannot leave all the teaching to teachers. They must play their role and enforce what's been taught at school, whether it's religion or civics. And I think this is an interesting message, simply because we heard from Melissa earlier, yeah, right? A caller who said essentially that there was a huge misalignment of the values that she was instilling in her daughter at home and the values that were being taught in Agama classes in school. And so I think, yes, where you are seeing your children learning things that match up to your own understanding of what a good person should be in terms of values, of course, 100% reinforce. But I think it's a tricky thing to say that parents must enforce what's being taught in school, because you know what? If it's not your personal values, ultimately, it is your child, right? You are the one raising this person. You are the one who wants to hopefully shape this person into a good person. And they should match up to the values you believe good people should have.
Right. And I think that also draws into comments from, I believe, Susie, who said that, you know, you really can't have two very strong differing views on this, right? Because your child would just be confused. And especially when it comes to authority, you know, your parents have some level of authority, and so do teachers. Who will the child believe, right? And maybe that's an opportunity to create a platform for critical thinking, but maybe in this case, it's not so applicable.
Kamal is also weighing in on the matter of teachers and parents, saying, shouldn't educating about religion be the responsibility of parents and not public schools? So I guess different perspectives here. Some people view the role of public schools as a place to have these values and values integrated into it, to have these discussions.
And maybe looking at the context of a country as well, because, you know, religion is still very much a huge part in our lives. I think we are both religious and spiritual, as compared to, say, countries like US and Canada, where they are less religious but a lot more spiritual.
We also have this message that's come through from Jacinta, who says, I work for a religious organization for young people. Commenting on the discussion at hand, I think the formation of the morality of a young individual is not bound by the classroom. Having conducted various programs and events when it comes to youth, experience has taught me nothing replaces real life. Moral and religious studies should not be evaluated with exams. It should be evaluated in a way that allows the learner to assess themselves in their own context, whatever that might be.
And that draws into our caller's point earlier from Kamaro, who says that, you know, what he wishes was to see maybe how, you know, in the context of everything and what's happening around the world, to have very frank and honest and open conversations about, say, a political situation, and then breaking it down for students to easily understand and apply religion there.
We also have a message from Lai Faisal, who is kind of actually not typical of the kinds of messages that we're getting today, saying, I'd like to see schools focused on maths, science and art. I had very little religious schooling and I don't cheat, steal or have bigoted views. Only rarely do I lie, mostly to the wife about the price of my bicycles. I didn't turn out too badly, la. And I agree with this in the sense that I did not absorb much from Pendidikan Moral except how to game the system because I was a kid in pursuit of A's. And I also did not have a lot of religious studies in my life. And I also think I turned out okay. So I'm sure that there are, I do think that there is a place for faith, right, to form the foundation of a good life. But I also think there are other options available.
Yeah, and I think to that point about Pendidikan Moral, it's not only the way we learn, but in the way that it's taught. I think in my experience and many others, you would see that the teachers wouldn't necessarily be applying it anywhere, just memorize the values and focus on your folio, which you have to do. And that's the end game. And we have another message here from Rookie, a teacher, who believes that all teachers should teach about unity and good morals. It shouldn't be specified to one class. Religious and moral classes should be integrated, as I feel they would somehow get more done than having separate classes for these subjects.
Yes, and also you'd be able to have conversations,
yeah,
right? You'd be able to have conversations about different things and not feel segregated, really, is what it comes down to.
Yeah, and I think in the real world, when you have to start having those conversations, you know, I think Kamral, who works in a Muslim minority company, who, you know, felt some sort of fear of bringing up and asking certain questions, which affected him directly. We have another message here from PC. All students should learn about all major religions. All major religions should be taught in schools. I grew up here, but hardly know about Islam.
Yes, which is a sad thing, isn't it? In a country where that is the majority religion, it is something that we should all at least have. We should all have passing familiarity with lots of world religions, I think is what it comes down to, so that you don't regard anything as, ooh, that's weird.
Yeah.
You know, that's not a phrase that you should be thinking. And perhaps if we had more exposure to these things at a younger age, that would help.
Yeah. And you can keep those messages coming. 77 33 2900 is the number to call. WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Tweet us at BFM Radio. Do we have more messages?
Yes, we do, actually. Law says religious education in schools. You know, I agree with Dr. Munira and most callers' points, but these issues are nothing new. A serious review of the entire curriculum and education system is urgently needed, and it's a definite priority along with economic and institutional reforms. The ball is squarely in their court, but we've not seen anything substantial, which is a huge concern. One thing is for sure, we will not get there by wearing black shoes and hanging out in teachers' lounges, which is a bit of a dig at the minister. And we've also got this that's come through from Paul saying education for useful knowledge and skills in schools, colleges and universities with humanities as the foundational program. Religious studies, civics, moral values, those rest on the family in terms of responsibility. And next up, we have this from Kamaraniza.
Since we all love vernacular schools and want it to stay that way, maybe Pendidikan Islam value should be taught in Chinese schools. What other religions value in Tafis and Kebangsaan schools?
He also says that, you know, when it comes to moral and religious values, it's not something you can teach from textbooks. It's something you must act on. It's a hands-on thing. And I think that this probably would feed into the idea of an integrated class,
yeah,
right? Rather than having necessarily what amounts to religious exchange programs in schools, perhaps if there was a religious studies class as a whole, and it wasn't necessarily treated as an extension of as an extension of the mosque or as an extension of the church, but just seen as a way to up your general knowledge and to up your knowledge about morals and ethics and the way it's interpreted through various religions. Perhaps that might be one way of going about things. Do keep your messages coming. We're talking about whether or not we need to reform the way we teach religion when it comes to our schools, whether or not schools have a role to play when it comes to unity. You can call 77 33 2900. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can also, of course, tweet us at BFM Radio.
Bringing fresh meaning. BFM 89.9.
It's the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin, and we are still talking about, you know, a call put out by Dr. Sharifah Munira Al-Attas about the need to reform education in our schools, particularly in terms of how religion is taught. And then actually, before we get to our next story, we do have some messages with regards to this topic. Lynn, what do we have?
Well, we've got this from Fu, who says, our school system should be changed. The first 6 years should be used to teach our students to read and write, because so many of our kids just don't know how to read and write properly. If they can't read or write, how can they learn anything? What more take exams, which is basically writing? They should also be taught moral values and general knowledge, but not as exam subjects. And we also have a personal perspective that's come in here from Kay.
I studied in local schools till Form 3, but I was lucky enough to complete my high school in internationally overseas. Instead of religious moral classes, there is a class called humanities that discusses about values using current events as examples, which makes things more relatable. We were lucky as we have people from different religions, and the teacher tries to get more insights and opinions from their respective beliefs. But of course, the teacher would have done some homework on the different views, and more importantly, the class was not graded. But for our final year, we were also tasked to do a CAS, community actions and sports. This talks about community service, actions, imposing self-values, and sports. We are required to do certain hours of those activities and reflect on all of these activities. This really encourages critical thinking and looking at values at both a personal level and at a community level.
We've also got this message from Ali Hassan, who says, Malay kids go to Sekolah Kebangsaan Kampung, they don't see a Chinese kid. Goes to MRSM, they don't see a Chinese kid. Goes to Jordan to study Arabic or Sharia, doesn't see a Chinese kid. Comes back, works in government department, religious department, doesn't see a Chinese kid. On the other hand, vernacular schools also contribute to Malaysia's racial issues. It may not be the main cause, but it should be given attention to strengthen harmony in Malaysia. Students in vernacular schools, especially Chinese schools, do have very little exposure to other races, especially to Malays. For a single school system to exist, the all-Malay Sekolah Berasrama Penuh and all other types of vernacular schools would need to close down, which is a call, I think, that has continued to be echoed, right? This idea of we do perhaps need to take a closer look at at vernacular schools.
Yeah, and having a singular school system where everyone can kind of mix and mingle and then maybe have a different kind of syllabus than the one we have right now.
On Twitter, Darren is saying, too much emphasis on religion pushes away non-Muslim parents from sending their kids to Sekolah Kebangsaan.
And I think I've heard those anecdotes a lot of late, right? And those who can afford it tend to send their kids to private schools and send their kids to elsewhere to learn. Please keep those messages coming at 018-789-8899 and tweet us at BFM Radio.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.